Good morning. It's great to be back with you. It seems like it's been eternity. I guess it's been a couple of years. And, you know, I'm an old man still studying the Bible. And I realize more and more how little I really know. But anyway, would you take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Joel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. It's an Old Testament book, and in fact, Peter used this book extensively. So we're going to do a little Bible studying this morning. I have about 35 minutes, and I'll try to get you out at noontime, but you don't know when you'll see me again, and if we'll see each other, because we do not know about tomorrow. Joel chapter 3, and I'll give you a moment to turn to that. Joel chapter 3. It's a great prophetic book. In fact, John the Revelator alludes to the book of Joel when he talks about the harvest in Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 through 21. Now here we are in Joel chapter 3 and verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Then Joel makes an amazing allusion to the Battle of Armageddon. You don't see it here in the book of Joel. But if you take the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and then especially Revelation, you find an allusion to the book of Joel. Let the nations be wakened and come to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And that word means Valley of Judgment. For there I set to judge all the surrounding nations, put in the sickle. Now here's where John the Revelator alludes. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Jesus talks about that in Matthew 13. Come, go down, for the wine press is full. There are two harvests at the end of this world. There is the grape harvest, or the vintage harvest, and the wheat harvest, or what we would call, based on Matthew 13, the wheat and the tares. He says that, put in the sickle, for the winepress is full, the vats overflown, their wickedness is great. And then he says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord, that's an interesting to note that, is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, the stars will diminish their brightness, the Lord will roar from Zion. And if you take the New Testament as the ultimate interpreter of the Old Testament, what Jesus is saying in the New Testament when he applies this story of Joel is that I will dwell in my remnant in Jerusalem. And the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake. That's the last great shaking. But the Lord will be a shelter to his people and the strength of children of Israel. Doesn't that sound nice? The strength of the children of Israel. And now turn to Isaiah chapter 26. I'm just giving you a little introduction, you know, a prolonged introduction. I remember I was talking to a lady one time, and she said, you're a prophecy preacher. And I asked her if there was any other. She said, well, I guess not. Isaiah chapter 26, and listen to this. In verse 20, come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Why? Why do that? Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. Oh, what a prophetic statement. Now turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. These are all allusions, you understand. The New Testament is the divine interpreter of the Old. Jesus is the divine one to interpret the Bible. Verse 26 of chapter 22. Her priests have violated my law, profaned my holy things, and not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they've hidden their eyes from my Sabbath so that I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people and get dishonest gain. And then down to verse 30. So I sought, says the Lord, I sought for a man. I looked around for a woman. I sought for a young person. And I'm so thrilled to hear these young people praying. How many of you would say amen to that? Oh, that's wonderful. I sought for someone, says God. Why does he say I sought? Because he's having a hard time to find. He's looking. And we are so busy looking here that often we don't look there. And yet he's looking. I sought for a man to do what? To make a wall and stand in the gap before me. And if you read Ezekiel 13, he's talking about the law of God. There's a gap in the law, and it has to do with the Sabbath. And God says in Isaiah 58, I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap, a repairer of the breach, to fill in the hole where the Sabbath has been downtrodden. And would you say amen to that? We're all convinced that Christ is coming soon. However, it's my conviction. I'm going to say things today you won't have to hear again. You won't. You may never hear again. I may not be back this way again. Since we have talked last, I have seen saints fall asleep. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we are late. Oh, I could cry. We are late. We are undone. Will you say amen? We are undone. Listen to this. I don't believe we're ready for the calamitous event soon to break in this world. No, I do not believe we're ready. I remember a conversation with my father before he died, and he said, Rocky, it's not going to be the occasional events. It's going to be the trend of these events. And I'm going to talk to you. So you're going to need a sheet of paper, and you're going to need to write the word down, trends. Have we been so accustomed to what seems like total misconnected events that, listen, we are being lulled to sleep? Tuesday, while staying with Cal and Diana, one of Fox News programs aired, and a few comments were aired by the late, great Paul Harvey. How many of you remember Paul Harvey? What was his favorite phrase? Say amen to that. That's the rest of the story. That's what I want to give you this morning. And Paul Harvey went on, and he said, if I were the devil, if I was trying to deceive mankind, here's what I'd do. Oh my, how relevant he was. May I dare say this to you this morning? I believe, as the prophet said, God's remnant will be rarer than the wedge of Ophir. Rare. Young people, if you're here this morning, God may be talking to your heart. This may be the last time God will talk to your heart. Maybe some of us are getting ready to fall asleep and we don't even know it. You know what was interesting? I was preaching in Dewey, and I was talking about Jesus coming. And a young girl, not of our faith, walked forward. I made an altar call, and she stood there. Oh, she said, this is so good, and she fainted, collapsed on the floor. The head elder came up. What in the world happened? And she's on the floor. We helped her up, and she kept saying, I've never done this. I've never had this happen. I don't know what's the matter with me. Oh, this was good. Later, we found out she probably had problems with her sugar. But wasn't it interesting that that was the time she fell? Do you know if you were visiting with James and Ellen White or William Miller in their early meetings, they would talk about people being slain in the spirit. That means they were so overcome with the power of God, they could not constrain themselves. Would to God that you and I would feel so overcome and convicted by our life, we would say to Jesus, I want to come home. May I say this to you? I think the church is asleep. We get inspired. We come to church and we go home and say, wasn't that nice? And if it does not change us, then sin reigns in us, if it does not change us. When you look at the Bible, there are three themes that keep coming out. Judgment, shaking, deliverance, over and over and over again. In fact, I wrote 10 things down in my Bible, and I said, oh, the saints would love to hear that. And the Holy Spirit said, well, Rocky, they can only stand so much of you. But I wrote 10 things down in my Bible, and I shared them with a saint one day, and you know what she said? Can I write those down? Would you mind me writing those down, Pastor? And I said, sure. And I'm going to rapid fire through them, and if you want a copy, you can take and copy up my Bible. The everlasting gospel is the first event resulting in the gathering of the remnant, 144,000. Second, a counterfeit gospel, Satan anticipates that with a counterfeit gospel. Number three, final decisions for the world. God is going to call his people out. And number four, the Satan are singled out for death. You didn't know that. John 16:2, Jesus said, the time will come, they'll seek to put you to death and think they're doing God a favor. Number five, the close of probation. Number six, economic boycott. Number seven, God intervenes. Number eight, secular powers turn on the religious world. Number nine, the Lamb finishes destruction at his second advent. And number 10, the Lamb gathers the saints in the clouds of heaven. Would you say amen? And we go home. 7 days of travel. Turn to Matthew 24. You know, I didn't come with a sermon. I did this while I was here. Because Larry, bless his heart, he called me and said, we want you to preach. And I wasn't going to, and I said, you know, we may not pass this way again. Matthew 24, I want you to follow down to verse number 29. For immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be dark, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, for they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great trumpet sound, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And then he talks about the parable of the fig tree. Now, you know what some people have pointed out? Verse 36, no man knoweth the day nor the hour of his coming. How many of you believe that's true? It's true. Jesus didn't tell the day and the hour of his coming. He said, when you see these things, know the end is what? Say it with me. Near, even at the doors. Even at the doors. But you know what I found very interesting? I want you to see this. Verse 20 of Matthew 24. Verse 20, I want you to see this. And pray that your flight, he's talking to those living in Jerusalem, pray that your flight be neither in the winter nor in what? Okay. The first 15 verses talk about the destruction of Jerusalem. The disciples ask two questions. What will be the sign of the destruction of Jerusalem in your second coming? And he separated those two. Do you know what the verse text is? It connects the first destruction of Jerusalem, the end of the world. It was an issue in the first century AD. It's an issue at the second coming. How do I know? Listen to the next verse. For there should be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of that world. Until this time, you never shall be. That's a direct quote from Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, when Michael, our high priest, stands up. And then verse 21, great tribulation, verse 22, and unless those days were short, how many would you say? Anyone says, here's the deception. Here's the end time deception. And the Sabbath connects it. If anyone says to you, Christ is in the desert, what do you say? No, because he's coming in the clouds of heaven. Now that sounds pretty easy to understand, does it not? Yes. You say, I would never, ever be asleep. Well, how do you know that? You're standing in Safeway, and there's a girl crippled over, and all of a sudden, this beautiful being walks by you and reaches over and touches her, and immediately she is transformed, and she glorifies God. And there's a preacher there saying, God is here. That's Jesus. And he actually says, I am the Son of Man. My brothers and sisters, we never know what. Yes. Amen. In Jesus Christ. Would you say that? Amen. That I know Jesus. He will keep me from falling. Amen. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. There's so much I'd like to tell you and show you. You know, I used to have prayer meetings here, and we had some dynamite times. And in fact, before you go home, if you want to know what the false prophet is and the dragon and the beast, you talk to me at the end. And I'll even give you a prelude of that. Turn to Revelation 16:13. In Revelation 14, you have the three angels' messages. the everlasting gospel, the Sabbath, the judgment, and the second coming, and the patience of the saints. In Revelation 16, 13, and I saw three. How many? A counterfeit of the three angels' messages. Three unclean spirits like frogs. They are a counterfeit of the three angels coming out of the mouth of dragon, Satan, and spiritualism, the beast, Catholicism and its worldwide power, and the false prophet, Protestantism in its fallen condition. You remember what Jesus said about the Father? He said, all authority has been given me of my Father. When you read about the dragon, he gave the beast his power, Satan, and great authority. You remember about the prophet? What happened? The false prophet represents the beast. And he breathes life into the beast. What does the Holy Spirit do? He breathes life into me. So the false prophet symbolizes the Holy Spirit. In fact, the beast power is slaughtered just as Jesus was slaughtered. The same word is used for both. So the devil has his trinity, he has his messages, and he's getting ready to counterfeit the greatest event of all times. And I'm telling you, Jesus is coming soon. Raise up your hand if you believe that's true. Okay, I want to give you some trends. T-R-E-N-D-S. This is where you can follow me. Trends. Take a sheet, write this down. Trends. Number one, technology. This is not an isolated event. We are talking about trends that tell us the king is coming. Technology. Wednesday, Fox News with Neil Cavuto talked about a driverless car. How many of you saw it? Did you see it? Okay. You get in. You don't even sit behind the wheel. There is no wheel. And it even talked about a person being blind, sitting in the car, saying, take me to Walmart. A driverless car? I remember shifting a 52 Chevrolet and wouldn't go into the second gear. I remember my father first taught me how to drive. He said, now let up the clutch. Easy. And I was okay if I got into the first gear and I let it up and jerked over the back and jerked over the back. And I said, oh, what? There were cars. And my mother would say, how's Rocky doing? He's killing the car. I mean, my brother, I got to tell you this, he was driving that 52 Chevrolet and he took the whole bottom out of the car. My father cried. He said, what am I going to do now? You know, we learned on gas cars. And I got to tell you this, when we got the technology, my grandfather had a 52 Buick with the old Dynacorp transmission and spring. Remember those? I was bummed over to Brattleboro, 12 miles away. I was 16 years old. It was the summertime. My grandfather and I had this agreement. He would sneak down the stairs and meet me at the back of the stairs so Grandma could not see him, and we would get in the old Blue Goose, and he'd show me how to drive. Well, half the time he fell asleep. So I was moving down the highway, coming down Route 7, doing about 55, and I thought, he's sleeping. I'll throw him the load in Florida. Well, I pulled him all the way down in the field, all the way down with the verse.
The old back of the car went up in the air, tired.
He started kicking speed like a horse. Woo! And he settled down, and my grandfather said, what's the matter, boy? What's the matter? What's going on? And I said, nothing, Greg. Just go back to sleep. Said 2 years later, there's something the matter with the Buick. The rear end's going out. Well, it's no wonder the rear end's going out, right? Technology. Listen to this. We have cars that park themselves. Does anyone here have a car that actually parks himself? The Ford Escape, I understand, it will park itself. I have a hard time parking, so that would be nice, wouldn't it? And they were asking the other day, if you ran into somebody, is the car covered if it parks itself? I have backup camera. How many of you have backup camera? You're backing your car and you can look out and here's this camera. Oh, it's nice. Nice. You know, you can see. Technology. Anybody here have a cell phone?
Let me see a cell phone. What is it? We're talking about trends. Did we have cell phones 25 years ago?
No.
What did we have? Before that, what did we have? Phone booths. I used to call Mama from a phone booth or a dime. Now we have cell phones. And they have a new phone now. You have to catch this. Boy, it's not this. Oh, no. It's in glasses. You wear it on your head. And when you walk up to somebody like Larry, and you say to yourself, I know him from somewhere, but I can't remember where, stands very close to her to think about it. Where he's born, when he's doing the work, everything about it. In a moment, in the corner of your eye in the world. Hi, Mary, how are you? How's it going up on the hill? And where are we headed? You know, Adler used to talk about some of these things, my brothers and sisters. We never dreamed that we would be here. How many of you thought, you who are over 60, thought we would be here now? Come on now. I thought we'd be home. Did you think so? Well, I have news for you. This world cannot hang on much longer. Hebrews chapter 11 says it waxes old like a garment that you remove. Are you with me?
Technology. What does the Bible say? And knowledge shall be increased, and men shall run to and fro, Daniel 12:4. And secondly, here it is, religion. What about the trends in religion that tell me that we are at the end of this world? Well, I can tell you one of the trends in religion. I am not downing any church. I never have. Those who can burn me fast, I don't do that. I watch trends. Pope Francis, who is one nice guy, he went to the Orthodox Church for the first time in almost 800 years. They checked his approval rating. It is 89 to 90%. The president's 42. This is the Pope. He said, we need to stop worrying about homosexuality. We need to love people for who they are. Well, how many of you agree we need to love people for who they are? That has nothing to do with sin, does it?
No.
No. In fact, what is the word you cannot use now? It just came out yesterday on the news. You cannot use it for the American women. What is it? How many of you saw the news with the word girl? You cannot say girl. And that's, I've used that phrase. Hey, girl, joking. You can't use it anymore. In Canada, you cannot talk about homosexuality. It's a hate crime. Religion. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 just for a moment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Oh, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming.
Now you watch it. We'll give you a ready commentary. Well, I have 10 minutes left, so I'm okay. Now you watch this. Now, brethren, verse 1, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the word coming. Of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him. We are gathered to Him. Not to be switched in mind of trouble, either by spirit or by word or letter, as if from us as though the day of Christ had come. Because the first century AD, there was some preaching that Jesus had already come. Prophecy had been fulfilled. Okay? Let no one deceive you by that means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. That word revealed is the same word we're talking about Jesus, the son of perdition. That's the word alluding to Judas. And I'm going to share something with you, as Adventist. I do not believe your falling away has been completely revealed. When it is, you won't shake in your boots. We are at the end of time. Would you say amen to that? You know, James White used to do when he was preaching. He went up and down the aisle saying, I can see the Lord coming. I can see the Lord coming. I can see the Lord coming in a few short days. And if the whole congregation would just say amen, he would explode. But hallelujah. Verse 4. Who opposes this false Christ? Opposes, exalting himself above all that is called God and his worship. So he sits in the temple of God, showing that he is God, he says, to his own church. And that is normally the papacy has exalted itself in place of God. To the highlights of the priesthood of the sacrifice of the Mass. I talked to a pastor friend of mine, a Catholic priest one day, and I said, well, do you really believe that when Jesus, you pray that Jesus is in heaven, he has to be again in that wafer and he's sacrificing again? He said, yes, I do. I said, see, the Bible said he was sacrificed once for the sin. He said, well, it's tradition. That's what he said. And then he said, verse 6, now you know he's restraining, he revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Back in the first century, Acts 20:29. He who now restrains it will do so until the time of it on the way. Is your he capitalized? Hold your Bible, look carefully. Is the he capitalized?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know why? It's the everlasting gospel. And the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. Probation closes. Then a man of sin, in other words, the gospel done, and Satan will go wrong. He begins a little bit prior to that. Well, I wish you could talk about the trumpet. So I'm telling you, I have studied things that Marvin Wolf and Sign of the Times and I talk back and forth. And then the lawless one will be revealed, and the Lord will consume. Notice this. The lawless one will be revealed, and the Lord will consume the mouth of his with his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his what? Jesus coming and Satan's coming are the same word. Same counterfeits are coming to Jesus. The coming, here it is again, of the law. So coming of Satan, same word just used for the coming of Jesus, is according to Satan with power, signs, and lying wonders. Oh my.
I know we are not ready. I know we are not. Religion. Are we seeing our growth in religion? Yes, we are. We are. All right, E, economy. Trends in the economy. The economists suggest, now listen, I'm not saying something to you that you have not found by watching news. Yesterday, a business commentator for Fox News said, I don't dare say this, but he said, right now is eerily like 2007. Growth is contracted. Interest rates are going up. Housing has boomed. My brothers and sisters, I say this as someone who loves you. Jesus Christ is coming. And when this falls this time, we won't pick it up with baskets. We won't fix computers. It's going to take a long time. And it's my feeling that this will lead into the coming of Jesus. Oh, I want Christ to come. I'm not a prophet nor a prophet's son. That's what Amos said. But I know Jesus is coming. The economy. In fact, listen, another thing I read here. How many of you have watched news where they advertise gold? Have you seen that? They advertise. Who would ever, I've never heard of people advertising gold saying, it's coming. They're talking about it, and they're not even religious. It's coming, you need to diversify your portfolio and buy some gold and silver. Let me tell you, you cannot plan ahead financially. Proverbs 11:4, in the day of wrath, wealth is useless. All the money in the world is not going to save you. Only Jesus Christ, our King, is going to save you and take you home. We're going home, brothers and sisters. You don't live here. This is not your home. You are visiting for a while. Would you say amen to that? 20% of the USA are on food stamps. 30% are disabled. 50% are having some sort of federal aid, such as unemployment, disability, or Social Security. And I'm on Social Security. You know what the prophet once said? She said, all earthly support would be what? You won't have any. You know what they're saying now in the Congress? The Congress is saying another 3 or 4 or 5 years, the way things are going, we won't have a Social Security. Natural world, N. Alaska has the biggest fire in its history, as large as the size of Chicago. I do not know if you have driven up I-5 from California. There are trees everywhere that are dead, and your heart aches, dead, no green, all brown. And I'm saying to Jesus, Lord, how bad are things going to get? One California lady last week was interviewed, and they asked her, how bad do you think it's going to get? She said, I don't think it can get any worse than it is, unless California's burned up. I mean, these are people off the street. Sounds like Luke 21:26, men's hearts failing them for fear of the things coming upon the earth, for the powers of heavens will be shaken. Jesus is coming. The greatest droughts in the history of this world are in Texas and California right now. That's the greatest droughts. In Arizona, the Sedona fire in Oak Creek Canyon has burned beautiful sliding rock where all the kids went through sliding rock. It's gone. One lady said it would take 100 years to come back when it was. It's gone. Jesus said in Matthew, there would be famines. Well, let's move to D, democracy or politics. Let's just look at this just for a moment in trends. Iran said if they get nuclear weapons, they're going to blow Israel off the map. And now our inspectors are saying they don't have access. In fact, you know what the European Union said? They asked a question, where is America? We've abandoned everything. We're leaving Afghanistan and Iraq. Where's America? Listen to this. I'm not getting into politics. I'm just telling you. Syria has killed 200,000 of its people. Gassed them. We thought things were back bad in the Second World War, and they were. When our Allied troops came against the Axis troops, and they saw the mess, and you know what happened? Let me tell you something.
Adolf Hitler invited the Prime Minister of England in 1943 to come to Germany. He wanted to meet Czechoslovakia, and he came to Germany, and they met him. He said, listen, these people living in Czechoslovakia, he said, on the western side of Czechoslovakia, eastern Germany, they're pro-German anyway. We want them. And the prime minister said, you can have them. So he went into the western Czechoslovakia, and never dropped the ball. And you know what Russia's doing now? It's in Ukraine and Crimea. They're sending their troops back like civilians in Ukraine saying, most of the people speak Russian. They're Russian. I'll tell you that. We should have that. Oh, wake up, brothers and sisters. We're seeing things happen. If we don't
watch out, it's going to duplicate World War II. And I don't know where we're headed. Listen to this. Russia, Nigeria, Pakistan, Egypt, Afghanistan, Iraq. We could go on and on and on. Where are we today? You say, we've always had wars. But listen.
Not the trend of hatred in this world. How many of you know this? Even in America, there is a feeling of almost bitterness. If a good portion of our country is not in depression, another proportion is angry. You know why our young people are afraid? Because they've heard for so long, you better get your act together and be saved. Thanks God that Jesus Christ is going to save us through his son alone. Amen. You say amen. Some of us have lost children, and we said, how are we going to get to heaven? Well, we're going to get to heaven the same way you're going to get to heaven. Jesus Christ. Amen. Not that we hate. And God is going to reach out. He's going to bring back. He says, I will contend with the devil.
I will fight with the devil. I will take him on. A God to an angel. And he will not be victorious over you. I will save your children. And the last trend, spiritualism. Well, I can tell you, three spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of a dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of a false prophet. Have you ever asked yourself why these spirits are compared with frogs? I did. So I studied the plagues that fell upon Egypt.
The last plague that they had received in Egypt was the frogs. And the last deception at the end of time, the devil's going to open all stops. Three spirits like frogs out of the mouth of dragon, spiritualism, the beast, the fellowship, the false prophet, Protestantism. And the false prophet's going to breathe life into the church. And the devil's going to breathe spiritualism. And we're going to see things you never saw before. We know one thing, the dead know not anything.
Yes.
That's the heart of spiritualism. That is the heart of spiritualism. And thanks be to God that
our loved ones who are in the grave, oh, daddy and mom, I miss my mother so much. Oh, I wanted to come. Wake up. Diana gave me a book. Oh, Diane, that book. Talking about going to heaven for 7 days. I thought we would be just suspended in space somewhere. Oh, no. We visit with our friends on a cloud of angels. Walk around and visit our friends. Oh, you're here. Oh, my. There's our boy. You remember when we lost our boy? There he is. And he says to you, you thought I was lost, but before I fell asleep, I prayed. I talked to God. And you say what?
Amen. Yeah. 3 weeks ago, I was on the phone with Carl. He was in sales. And I had Christine, a union call, for me to talk to her. And Carl is a relative in my room. And I called and I said, Carl, I understand you have terminal cancer. She said, oh, yes, Pastor. It's all through me. It's everywhere. What did you say? You mean I talked to her? Do you know what she said to me? She said, I don't want to heal. I said, what? She said, I don't want to heal. I don't want to heal. I said, Carla, what are you saying? She said, I hope and pray God doesn't heal me because I want to see Jesus. I don't want to be healed. I don't want the cancer, God. I want to see the Lord. And here I'm with tears coming down my cheek. Oh, dear, you lost me. I'm glad I listened to a walking call, but we had a feeling. And you want to worship, I didn't do it. I mean, a twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
At the last time, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be saved. In the twinkling of an eye, oh, thanks be to Jesus. I don't look like this anymore. I won't have to worry about that. And I haven't lost any hair yet, and I'm going to stay pretty much, but I guess getting white. You know, I'm watching it burn. The seasons of life are changing up here, you know. And I try to count how many I had new hairs coming in. Well, I gave up that idea. You know, my brothers and sisters, you know that song from me again? I don't know what's going to happen if you live on me again. Some of us are being my people. And you're not. But I'm wondering, would you make a pact with me? I'll meet you in the clouds. We'll visit together. And we'll talk with each other. And we'll praise God together. And we'll wave through those unfallen universes all the way to that city whose ruin is now. Would you stand up with me? You know, whenever I come here, I ask you, would you like to give your life to Christ again? I want to do that again. Would you like to join me so I can pray for you? Would you like to come out and just join me up here? Don't worry about anybody else saving you, you know. You may not have another opportunity to do this. Who knows? Maybe God's talking to your heart today. You don't know. You do not know what the long way you could fall asleep and never wake up again. That would be it. Your life would be done. Your life would fall asleep without Jesus. We do not have a chance to say, I am sorry. Please. There's no second chances at the grave. That doesn't happen. God doesn't negotiate with us when we fall asleep. You want to tell the Lord today, oh, what a wonderful God. He gave his only begotten son. What a wonderful, wonderful God. And you know, the Bible says that he loves us. God is, 1 John 4:8, love. The Father loves us. Not just the Son who gave his life, but the Father loves us. I mean, my, it just blows me away to know that God cares that much for you and me, that he would give his only Son. We're not going to know throughout eternity. It's going to be the science of our study and the science of our soul. Let's just cry in your faith. Those of you out there, if you would bow your heads with me, we're going to talk to Jesus, and I'm going to pray that if there's a person here this morning who has not said yes to Jesus Christ and his truth of God, oh Lord, thy words will come and I believe them. Our Heavenly Father, you tell us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, if we receive not the love of the truth, we'll not be saved. It's the love of the truth, not the good news, the whole plan of salvation. And what it takes, what it entails, our obedience to you, dear God. We love you. We want to serve you. We're not good. We make all kinds of mistakes. Lord, we look at our children and our grandchildren. And we think of all their things. And Lord, we cry to you because we don't see how we can be saved. I am so glad that we are not your judge. Amen. That you are. You love them, Lord. You love them. You loved Abel, and you even gave Cain an opportunity. Lord, you love your children. And I'm so glad that you give each child as though they were the only child on earth. I pray, dear God, that you will be with each one of us, as grandparents and parents. You know how much we love and care for our grandchildren, our own children, and our brothers and our sisters. Lord, we want to be part of that great song. Oh, what it's going to be like to be with you forever and ever and ever. No tears, no crying. Every day to be in your kitchen. Bless us and pray to your God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Okay, well, let's just have prayer.
And I want to dismiss you with God's blessings. I pray the Lord will bless you and you're rising up and setting down and you're going forth and coming back in your families. And I pray that God will keep you another year so that we